In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we begin Lent today. And Lent really focuses on the cross of Jesus, the passion of Jesus. And we are to offer our lives as living sacrifices to the Lord. The 14th chapter of St. Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus and to kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there might be a riot among the people. They're jealous of Jesus. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. The only way to get into the jar was to break it completely. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was this ointment wasted in this way? Jesus sees it as extravagant love. For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news or the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Extravagant love. Extravagant love. And she didn't care what people thought. Do you care what people think? Don't care what people think. Care what Jesus thinks. He loves you. Don't care about what people think. We'll be paralyzed if we care about what people think. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the city, and the man carrying a jar of water will meet you. In other words, women only carried the water. So this is going to be something that they're going to understand, that this is not usually take place. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. That's the cenacle. Make preparations for us there. Cenacle means dining room. So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as Jesus had told them. And they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be distressed and say to one another, surely not I. He said to them, it is one of the 12, the one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written, but woe to that one whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have ever been born. This is Judas Iscariot. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink of it in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." I tell you, they think that they're not going to betray him, but every one of them are going to betray him. "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. And you know what? They all denied him. They all ran away. Do you run away from Jesus when you sin? No. Run toward Jesus when you sin. Not run away from him. They went to a place called Gethsemane, which means the squeezing of the olives. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be distressed and agitated. Why? Because he's absorbing the sins of the world. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. This, in Luke, we see that an angel comes and ministers to him. He's not saying, "I don't want to die." He's saying, "I am absorbing those sins of the world, and it's very heavy." And God sends an angel to help him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. I tell you, it was the heaviness of what Jesus was going through. And they felt the heaviness and they fell asleep. And they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." Jesus knows his betrayer. One of his very own. Let us not betray Jesus. Let us love Jesus. He is worthy of our love. Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there came a crowd with swords and clubs, and the chief priests and scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to Jesus and he said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. Then they laid hands upon Jesus and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew the sword and struck the slave of the high priest. John tells us his name was Malchus. Luke tells us that he healed the ear, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple. I was teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man, this is Mark, was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. This is Mark. This is who Mark is. They took Jesus to the high priest and to the chief priests and the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance. Yeah. I won't betray you, Jesus. That's what he said. Now Peter is following at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself by the fire. Now the chief priest and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none, for many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even at this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent. Like a sheep led to the slaughterhouse, like a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. And he did not answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore their clothes, because they think Jesus blasphemed, and said, "Why do you still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy." It wasn't blasphemy at all. It's reality. "What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, "Lord, have mercy on us," to blindfold him and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him. "Lord, have mercy on us for the times that we have sinned and not run toward you, but ran away from you." While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But Peter denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the courtyard. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse and to swear an oath, "I do not know this man that you are talking about." At that moment the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. This is Peter, the head of the apostles. When have we run away from Jesus? This is the time of Lent, is to love him. Love Jesus, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. This is the time to give our whole life to him. This is the time. This is Lent. We have 40 days to comfort the Lord, 40 days to pray, to fast, and to give alms. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders, this is the 15th chapter, and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, Pilate used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas, and guess who Barabbas is? You and me. Jesus took the rap for us. We're Barabbas. He was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. but the chief priests stirred up the crowd and have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again. Then what do you wish me to do with the man whom you called King of the Jews? They shouted back, crucify him. Pilate asked them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas. That's very sad. See, you want to satisfy people. Who do you want to satisfy today? I tell you, when I came to the Lord, I gave myself to him, and I had people that thought that I was crazy. But I wasn't crazy. I was filled with the love of God. Jesus changed my life. Oh, yes, I didn't care what people thought. Even if I was alone, I remember going to a day of rest with people that we served with at the Cenacle, and not one of them acknowledged me. And I was very sad. I didn't want them to acknowledge me, to say, he's so great. But you know what? You're in the seminary, and you came from our group. It was true. No, and the devil said to me, it's going to be like this for the rest of your life. Don't serve God. I said, Lord, I'll serve you even if it's like this for the rest of my life. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas. And after flogging Jesus, by his wounds we were healed, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led Jesus into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. He's the April Fool. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. He's the April Fool. They struck his head with a reed and spat upon it and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, probably a black man, the father of Alexander and Rufus. You see, Mark writes to the Roman community, and he knows Alexander and Rufus. So Simon became a Christian that day that he carried the cross, and his two sons also became Christians. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews," and with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left, and those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you would destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." Oh, he became a curse, because the Bible says, "Cursed is the man who dies upon a cross," that you and I would become the righteousness of God. Jesus became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Save yourself and come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking Jesus among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we might see and believe." And those who were crucified with him taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came upon the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of the bystanders heard it, They said, listen, he's calling Elijah. And someone ran with, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. O Lord Jesus, crucified for love of us, help us to love you. Help us never to deny you. O Lord Jesus, crucified out of love for us, help us to live by faith. We who are the righteous because of your blood. It is your blood that makes us righteous, O Lord. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That means now we have access into the Holy of Holies through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw in this way he breathed his last, truly this man was God's son, the centurion said. The pagan realized he's God's son. There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger of Joses and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where the body was laid. This is Lent, and we spend time meditating upon the cross and the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we spend time meditating upon the cross and the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we show extravagant love? By praising him, by keeping him in our hearts, praising Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. That's how we show extravagant love, by praising him. And he is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your praise. How can we not be like Peter? Because every day we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice of praise. Every day we need to give ourselves to Jesus. Jesus died upon the cross so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God means that we live by faith, not by our works, but by faith, by grace leading to faith, which leads to works. We are saved by grace alone. Now, we see Jesus in his tomb, but he's not going to be there very long, because the Lord is going to raise him up on the third day, according to the scriptures. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We have 40 days to get ready for the Paschal mystery, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. These days we should be praying, fasting, and giving alms. These days we should be giving our life to Jesus anew every single day. I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Paul writes, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice of praise, which is your spiritual worship. I need to hear from you, and may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.